What I want to share this morning, I've had heavy on my heart for several days. And I've scribbled out notes and then thrown them away, and then scribbled out a few more. So I'm not totally sure what direction I'm going to go, but I do know that this is for this morning. And I want to talk to you about being perfect in spirit. I had a hunger placed within me as a young man to be what I'm talking about this morning, and that's to become perfect in spirit. We'll never be perfect in the flesh until we get our glorified body. But I believe that God wants to bring us to a perfect spirit. The beauty of a perfect spirit. A spirit that has developed in the kingdom principles. And a spirit that doesn't put on loving their enemies, but really does. A spirit that doesn't fake deeply caring, but does deeply care. I had the privilege that some don't have, is that I had two tremendous mentors. My father and Pastor Ronald Bishop. My father was evangelistic, traveled the country as a traveling evangelist, and then went in his autumn years as a missionary to Haiti. When many, and I say, don't say this critically, but when many were off to relax and enjoy their investments, Daddy was riding a donkey in Haiti and going to outstation churches that we had the privilege of seeing many of those that God has blossomed. Two tremendous mentors. My dad, who was evangelistic and had a deep compassion for people, almost an overwhelming compassion that I say this reverently and respectfully, but I think it sometimes almost clouded his physical judgment. He had a passion to help people to a level that was unusual. And I think at times he even neglected certain areas, and I say that very respectfully. But it wasn't that he meant to neglect them, it was that he had such a passion to reach people. The story is told of the missionary, and I don't recall the name, and I should, that became elderly and his mind began to slip. And there was a pond out by the nursing home. They couldn't find him, and they went out only to find that he was in a boat, and the boat was still tied with a short rope, and he was rowing against the rope, saying, "I'm going back to China. I'm going back to China." And in his faded mind, the flesh is imperfect. He still had a passion that God had placed there because he had been a missionary to Chinese people for years. And I had the privilege of having a mentor who was very evangelistic and had a heart for lost people. And then I had the privilege of being mentored by a man who had been in through incredible valleys in his life and stayed sweet. Sweetly broken. Pastor Bishop was a missionary to Honduras. While in Honduras, he lost two sons, buried them both. I remember him talking about making a short casket out of Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes. My understanding is that various help groups would bring meals and things and put them in cartons, and he happened to get his hand on some Kentucky Fried Chicken cartons and some things that came from the States, and he actually made a casket. Stay with me. I watched a man who would tell with tears running down his face of burying his two sons in Honduras. While there, his wife became very sick, and they had to come back to the States, and she went into a coma. She laid in Lutheran Hospital in Fort Wayne for 6 years. The nurses there said he visited every day raising his daughters. I've heard his one daughter tell of her waking in the night and hearing whimpering and sobbing, and she'd go in and peek in the bedroom door, and he was laying across the bed with a picture of his wife holding it close to him and crying. But the nurses said he never missed a day visiting her, and he took a Bible and a hymnal. And he would read a chapter in the Bible and sing to her. I asked him one time if she ever responded, and he said one time in 6 years she moved her eyelid just a little bit, and he thought she might have responded. I saw him tell those stories while he pastored a church in Fort Wayne and then was moved here to Peru to pastor, which was for many people, I was one of those little people. And I sat, as he called, in my early days of becoming a Christian, my father was on the mission field in Haiti. And God knew I was in an era of time where I needed the mentoring of Pastor Bishop, and he had been a good friend of my father's, and he invited me to pray with him at the altar at the church in on Fifth Street in Peru. And I would stop there early in the morning after working the night shift at Kroger's and kneel at the altar beside him, and he would tell me stories, and I would sit in awe as I realized this man didn't have a thread of bitterness. He didn't have a thread of anger. He would talk of burying his sons and how close God was even while he was doing it, and how he almost felt God was causing his hands to do the things he needed to do in burying his sons. And then he would cry and say, God's been so good to me. What a mentor. I'm going to tell you something. Early in my childhood and in my young adulthood with those mentors, a hunger was born in me to have a perfect spirit. I don't have it. But we're gaining on it. It's a process. Don't quit. Don't quit. God is able to do some incredible things within us. And may I say to you this morning that our world is hungry for people who have that kind of a spirit. The world's tired of sales pitch, and I don't blame them. I say this respectfully, but the world's been churched to death. I think many of them are tired of it. They want to see something that works. They want to see something that weathers you through burying your kids. And this is a cursed world. It is an easy world, and trials come our way. It was Jesus, my friend, who said, in the world you will have thlipsis. In the world, you will have tribulation. The Greek word is thlipsis. It means trials, difficulties, problems. Hello, it happens. I say this very, very appropriately, but spent nearly 5 months in the hospital, out 2-3 times, and only to go back in battling AML. And in the same year, our house burnt down. And that's not near what some people have gone through, but I'm telling you, in the world, you're going to have thlipsis. This is a cursed world. God never intended for the world to be the shape it's in. People have bad theology. People are angry at God about all kinds of things. Not really, it's not God's fault. He made the Garden of Eden. He made it perfect. He made man to live forever in relationship with him. Adam walked with God. It was mankind's decision to turn away. And because God is faithful and true, and his attributes are faithfulness and truth, he cannot bless a world that murders and destroys. The world hadn't been changed, the garden hadn't been changed, but a few short years, and we had the first murder as Adam and Eve's two boys got into it, and Cain killed Abel. And from there, generation after generation after generation, there are hundreds of generations of sin in this arm. The flesh is going to have problems. Our world is in dire straits today. But in the midst of a world who has chosen to go another direction, God sends the Savior and says, you can be forgiven, you can be changed, and I will lead you through a troubled world. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. He didn't say there wouldn't be any valleys or shadows of death. He said, I'll be with you during those times. Now, there are times when he'll do the remarkable, the thing we're maybe not prepared for. He may do the instant miracle in our life. We've had some. We've been blessed with some incredible miracles in our life. And sometimes, I always say it's God's guarantee is this, protection from it or grace through it. That's God's guarantee in Scripture. It's backed from cover to cover. That's not an isolated Scripture. Protection from it or grace through it. Sometimes God just fixes it. He just fixes it. He just comes down and speaks his word and fixes it. Other times he gives us grace through it and we weather out the storm, and he hides us in the cleft of the rock and he takes care of us in the midst of the mess. And we don't always know how that's going to be. That's where surrender comes in, letting him decide that. I don't give God orders. No. I come and say, now Lord, with my little brain, it looks to me like this would be a good thing, and I'd ask you that, but Lord, You can trump me anytime. Every day, if not every day, nearly every day, while praying, I say, Lord, everything I ask is under an umbrella. And that umbrella is not my will, thine be done, because the ways of the Lord are perfect. Not my will, thine be done, because the ways of the Lord are perfect. I've had things that I prayed for I'm glad didn't work out. Anybody else? I've had things I thought was right. I've had spouses I thought my kids should marry only to find out, man, I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer. Everything's under the umbrella, not my will, thine be done, because the ways of the Lord are perfect. And I never will forget walking around in the ashes of our house the morning after the fire, and I came across the picture someone had gotten me, and the verse was on there, the ways of the Lord are perfect. And as clear as anything, I felt like standing in those ashes there in September, just finishing cancer treatment, and our house had burned down. What are we going to do? Where are we going to stay? How's this all going to work out? I felt like God said, are you going to believe that? And I said, I am. I'm going to believe that. Because of your prayers and strength, we're not anybody. That's why we pray for each other. And many of you were praying for us that morning. You had gotten word the night before about the fire. You knew we had had cancer that year. And he said to me, are you going to believe that, that the ways of the Lord are perfect? And I said, Lord, I'm going to believe that. And God came through in incredible ways and did things for us that I never, ever expected. I had the advantage of having some incredible mentors. And it put within me a hunger to have a perfect spirit. I want to somehow today get across to you the importance of a perfect spirit. Make that your goal. It's a process. God's incredibly patient. God, perfect my spirit. Your flesh, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to stop and start over. You're going to have stuff you mess up. You're going to have to back up and apologize. You're going to have to correct things. It's a trial and error. You're going to fall down sometimes. But God, perfect my spirit. And I remember being with Pastor Bishop and seeing that he had no anger at God. Very surrendered about his circumstances. So ready to step aside. A forgiving heart. Saw good in everyone. That's what I'm talking about. Perfect spirit. A source of encouragement. How many of you here know Gene Crail? A lot of you. Isn't he a source of encouragement? I thought, if I'm ever asked to say a little something at his funeral, and I may be, I'm going to say that man is a source of encouragement. Every time he sees me, oh, Tom, we're behind you, what you're doing. You know his mannerisms, how he talks? He said, we're behind you, no kidding, we're behind you, he says. You're doing a good job. And I don't think I'm doing so good, but source of encouragement. Lord, make us perfect in spirit. A number of years ago, I was up at the truck stop, which used to be my office. Actually, always meeting with troubled people. I loved having the truck stop, the old restaurant at the truck stop, and I spent hours. In fact, when they closed that, I sent a note to the owners and told them that they'd shut down my office. Because the type of people we worked with, you call them to a church office, they'd freeze up. But if you say, meet me at the truck stop for coffee, they were in an environment, they were relaxed. I was amazed at the conversations and the times people break down and cry. I remember one guy I was talking to at the truck stop. He cried so hard that the waitress came over and asked if she could get him some help. But that atmosphere relaxed the people. And so I often met people there. And I remember being there one time alone. I had my Bible laid out there and I was looking at some things and making some notes. And I was making an observation over to the side of an elderly man who was being absolutely impossible with this waitress. And I'm getting mad. I don't get mad very easy, but I'm getting mad watching this. This guy is all over this waitress. I mean, she can't, this guy's in his 70s. Okay. Probably mid-late 70s. He is all over her. Obvious by his dress, and you could see all the windows across the front, what he drove up in. He had done okay in life for sure. You know, he wasn't hurting for anything. And he was all over this waitress, and she was just a flustered mess. And I'm watching, I'm a real observant person, and I'm watching over there, and I'm feeling sorry for this girl. And she just kept apologizing, and then she'd run back to the kitchen, and then she'd come back, and he's, come here, man. And then his steak wasn't right. And finally, I had enough of it. Wasn't any of my business. We all get in the flesh once in a while. I motioned to her and I said, she looked at me, it's like scared to death, like, oh no, I'm in trouble, somebody else. I said, come here. She came over to me and I said, I've been watching you waiting on that guy. You're doing a great job. He's being impossible. He's being an absolute jerk to you. Tears come up in her eyes. She could hardly talk. And she said, well, this is only my second day. And I said, you're doing marvelous. Your second day. And I had a heartache when I left the restaurant that day because there was something bothering me deeper than just that incident. It was that many times we older generation aren't a very good example. I want the customers at Walmart to say, I like that guy. He was kind to me. He treated me well. I want to be perfect in spirit. He came back and apologized to me that day. He was grouchy. Anybody ever had to do that? Yeah? Yeah, I've had to go back. I've had to go back to people. You remember me? Yeah. What did I do wrong? I was wrong. I wasn't very polite to you the other day. I ask you to forgive me. You know that's a great witnessing thing? Yeah. World doesn't back up. World doesn't say they're sorry. I want to be perfect in spirit. You get what I'm saying? We're not going to be perfect in the flesh. We're going to make mistakes. But I believe that God here on this earth, in the midst of our cursed world, wants to bring us to a place where we're perfect in spirit. Where we're anxious to forgive. Where we really do care about our enemies. I don't believe that when we buy into redemption that Brian sang about, and when we come to the cross and we accept Jesus dying for our sins, I don't believe we just turn over a new leaf. I believe it will radically change us. Radically change us. Scripture says you put within you a new heart and a new spirit. I pray nearly every day. I have a whole list of things I do at the first of my prayer. And one of these is, Lord, help me become an older man that's happy to be in the background, happy to have my opinion unexpressed. I'll tell you what I think. I'll give you my two bits. You sure it's worth a quarter? I don't know. You know. Maybe it isn't worth a quarter. I'm not so sure my opinion is always worth a quarter. Help me become an older man that's happy to be in the background, happy to have my opinion unexpressed. Then I say, Lord, may I be full of grace and mercy and truth and kindness and goodness. In 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those in speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Obvious answer here. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Oh, so there's something greater. Well, I want to be this. Boy, I want to be able to call down fire from heaven. I want to be able to put on a display. I want to be a boy, there's a lot of that in our world today. But I contest, if you'll hear me this morning, that in these last days, in this cursed world, in this meltdown that we're experiencing in our country and around the world, that people are looking for somebody that is kind and gracious and has some fruits of the Spirit. And I would encourage you to seek, Lord, give me, make it your prayer, maybe after the message this morning, Lord, help me to have a perfect spirit. Develop me in this process. And it is a process. It's through the seasons that the fruit is born on the tree. It's through the weathering, the winter, and then the spring, and then the hot summer. It's the process that we develop. But I want to call you back to what he says. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Oh, I want to make a big splash. I want to be somebody in the kingdom. Well, there's nothing wrong with desiring spiritual gifts. But I want to read this again because I think we get out of balance. And I think there's a need for what I'm saying this morning. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you a more excellent way. Can I paraphrase? Boys, this is all great, and we got a calling, and there's different callings, but let me show you the most important thing here, folks. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding or clanging cymbal, a resounding gong or clanging cymbal. Though I'd have the gift of prophecy, and I can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I'd have faith so I could move mountains, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, big sacrifice, and surrender my body to the flames, be a martyr, if I don't have love, I gain nothing. That's pretty strong. You think that's pretty strong? We've been out of balance. I have written here, so much of our teaching in our world today is out of balance. Oh, are there apostles' callings to be an apostle? Absolutely. Are there healings? Are there things? Absolutely. Of course, the devil has his phoniness too. And we've got to decipher that. And that's go off there this morning. But he says, I want to show you a more excellent way. Let God give to you. It's nothing wrong with desiring a gift. Let God give that to you as he will. The ways of the Lord are perfect. Not my will, thine be done. The ways of the Lord are perfect. If you want me to be something, I want to be that. If you want me to have some gift, I want to have that. Absolutely. But let me show you a more excellent way. Though I had spoke with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have love, I'm just like hitting a cymbal up here. If I have faith so I can move mountains, I'm nothing. If I don't have love. If I become a martyr, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Verse 4, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I've had a hunger born within me, and I believe it was born observing the mentors that I had. I have advantages. Honestly, folks, many say, boy, Tom, you work at this thing. I've had people say that with even a critical tone at times. I say that smiling. You work at this thing. I don't think a man could have two better mentors. First of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, we all have. But then, here as flesh and blood, I don't think a man could have two better mentors than Jack Robbins and Ronald Bishop, just to be honest. Too much is given, much is required. But what that did is that put a hunger within me to be the real deal. I sat on the floor next to that man and saw tears run down his face and talk about burying his boys and saying, oh, God has been so good. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Lord, I don't know what he's got, but that's what I want. I don't know what he's got, but that's what I want. And a hunger was born. And that's been 42 years ago. And that hunger is stronger than it's ever been. And they that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And I say this very humbly, but I want to say it as an encouragement to you. I've seen a lot of that fulfilled. I've seen changes in myself I can take no credit for. Where I feel different, how I respond in situations, and I realize that God, like with you, He's perfecting my spirit. He's perfecting my spirit. Pray for it. Lord, perfect my spirit. I want to be a man that's heart is right, a woman whose heart is right, for out of the heart come all the issues of life. Oh, I'm active in my church. I do this. I'm on the worship team. I'm this. I'm this. I'm this. I'm this. There's places for that. But are all apostles? Are all teachers? No. Do all have this? Do all have that? No. But let me show you a more excellent way. Here's what you need to be chasing. Here's what you need to be chasing. And then if God along the way wants to trust you with the gift, that's wonderful. God has given me some gifts. and I appreciate them, and I cherish them, and I want to use them properly. But it's dangerous to have a gift if you don't have the heart stuff. Make sense? If God entrusts you to be an apostle, and you haven't got the heart stuff worked out, you're going to abuse that, you're going to hurt people, you're going to tear people up instead of encourage them. You got to have the stuff going on in the heart right. And we get the cart before the horse in our teaching, and not enough ministries are emphasizing seek a perfect spirit. Seek to know the heart of God. Seek to spend time with God and ask Him to perfect you in the ear. And then you don't have to, please don't be offended, but you don't have to go around witnessing all the time. There'll be a radiance in your presence. I believe that God can be so alive within a man that there's a difference when he comes in the room. I believe God can be so alive in a man and woman that there's a difference when you come in the room because we bring a presence. Over the years, counseled a lot of people. Don't consider myself any expert counselor for sure, but I've tried to be a decent listener and I have cared. And I've met with people, but I've sure changed. Used to, man, I had all my notes, had everything all ready, anticipating everything should be asked. Now I just say, Lord, you know what's going on with this person. Let me just bring your presence. Let me just bring your presence. And I've had times I'd come in, sit down in a room with somebody and pray with them and say, Lord, bring your presence. And I just ask a few simple, dumb questions. And this person just opens up and tells you their life story and lays out everything that's ever happened. And when they leave, they say, oh, I feel better. And you can't take a bit of credit for it because you brought a presence. I want to bring a presence. I'm telling you something. As we move toward the tribulation hour and the coming of Jesus, we don't need more bells and whistles. Hello, folks. We don't need more bells and whistles. A lot of churches got things out of bounds. We don't need more. We don't need a bunch of people call down fire from heaven. I'm not belittling that. I'm saying we need people that bring a presence to darkness. I'm going to tell you something. At 2:30 in the morning on North Avenue, with people sacrificing chickens and prostitutes everywhere and child pornography and everything going on, if you don't bring a presence, you're going to go under pretty quick. I want to bring a presence. I want to bring a presence. Perfect in spirit. Galatians chapter 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions. Go back to verse 19. It says what those are. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Excuse me. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we don't need to call a politician to ask that. It says it right here. But the fruit of the Spirit, and notice the Spirit's a capital S, the Spirit of God within you. The fruit of the Spirit. What does the Spirit produce? As I spend time with God, as you spend time with God, what does the Spirit produce in our life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Oops. Oh. Perfect in spirit. Full of mercy. Ready and anxious to forgive. Motivated by compassion. Faithful. Kind. Patient. Lord, help me become an older man that's happy to be in the background. Happy to have my opinion unexpressed. Full of mercy and compassion and grace and goodness. Faithfulness. Grateful. and content. Oh, I feel the Lord's thumb in my back on those two. And I was going to go into talking a little bit about David's spirit, but that may be a second message. But we've been talking about David in the mentoring group. And David was so perfect in spirit and was referred to as a man after God's own heart. We'll go into that a little later. But David had the opportunity twice to kill Saul, who was out to kill him. And one point he even cut off a little snip of his robe to show that he had been next to him and had the opportunity. And he stood across the ravine and hollered, "Hey," and very respectfully spoke to Saul in the position he was in. Not, "Hey, you idiot, you've been chasing me, look what I got." No. Sir, this is your servant David. Sir, this is your servant David. Just to know that there's no bad feelings. I was in your presence. Look at your robe." And he looked at his robe and there was a piece cut off and David held it up and said, "I was that close." And did you know that the guys with David told him to kill him? Don't take advice from people around you always. The guys around him said, "Here's your opportunity. The Lord has delivered him into your hand." There'll be people come along and say, "The Lord told me to tell you this." Make sure the Lord told him that. There's a lot of that out there today. People don't want to take the time to spend with God, so they're seeking for some answer from somewhere else. And yes, God can speak through others, and we need to be open to that. That's one of the marvelous ways. Don't let me take away from that. That's one of the obvious ways God speaks. But they told David, they said, "Here's your chance. The Lord has delivered him in your hands. Now kill him." And he said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." Perfect in spirit. "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." And he cut off a piece of his robe. And then, did you read there ever in 1 Samuel? He repented for doing that. He felt guilty. He said, "How could I take the Lord's anointed and actually cut a piece off his robe? Lord, I'm sorry." Mercy. No wonder he was called a man after God's own heart. And who was Jesus called in the flesh? Son of David. What an honor. Son of David. I want to be perfect in spirit. In closing, that means I'll talk 5 more minutes. I feel the Lord's thumb in my back on grateful and content. Oh, Americans, come on. Grateful and content. I want to become an older man. Oh, fix my steak. This has too much salt on it. My dad used to say, the older you get, the more you'll get like the place you're going. That's a little scary. Dad used to say that, the older you get, the more you'll get like the place you're going. Lord, am I getting sweeter? Am I getting kinder? Grateful. I want to be grateful and content. And I want to say something about contentment. And I'll leave you with this, and this will be my closing remarks. The key to contentment is surrender what you want and receive what you have. Now, there's nothing wrong with sometimes wanting something and going to God. You want to be balanced here. There are times when you can desire something, you go and want it. But I'm talking about something bigger here. I'm talking about in the very core of ourself, in our heart, it seems that few are content and grateful. I want to be full of mercy, kindness, compassion, patience. I want to be content and grateful. And I think a key to contentment is surrender what you want and receive what you have. Oh, I want this. I want that. I want that. Can I be real practical? In your marriage, receive what you have. And God can cause it to blossom and become far more. Oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. Lord, I surrender what I want. There's no end to I want in the flesh. There's no end to I want. I want this, I want. Surrender what I want and receive. Not, well, I accept. Daddy used to say there's a difference between accept and receive. He said, I don't like it when people say they accepted the Lord. It's like, well, I thought about it a long time, and well, he didn't really measure up, but well, I finally accepted him. No. He said there's a difference. He said receive even has a different sound. I receive the Lord into my heart. There's a softness in the word receive. And I don't think we're playing on words there. To receive it. Surrender what you want. Receive what you have. You know, let's talk about that just a second. Boy, I don't know why I feel this, but I'm going to go with it. It would be great in our marriages if we all just blended like this. You ready? Ah, perfect blend. The truth is that once in a while, you come across somebody, once in a great while, who blends like this. Maybe Guy and Lois, somebody like that. Most of the time, it's like this. And often, it's like this, which is all kind of neat out here, unmet. And then sometimes, there's some poor folks, it's like this. There's a spiritual principle here. What's it say in Fruits of the Spirit? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The world out there today, the philosophy, go after what you want. That's what they're teaching us. Oh, you want this, 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 this. You can have this, this, this. Go after you want. No, surrender what you want and receive what you have. And you know what I found out in watching couples over the years? I found out some of those poor souls, it's like this. And you got all this need where we missed each other. God will fill all that as you follow Him. He'll fill those things in your life. I never will forget going for a walk with a good friend of mine 30-some years ago. Had the opportunity to go into Haiti with him. In closing, I'll tell this, just 5 more minutes. And he said, Tom, I desperately need prayer. He said, you know our situation. Call her Susie, that wasn't her name. Susie got pregnant, we got married. We were partying down in Florida together. She came up having a baby. We got married. Families put pressure on us. We're just like this. We got nothing. We'd have never picked each other. We were partying together and all this happened. We'd have never picked each other. But he said, I believe now that I've accepted the Lord, because they had become Christians, and Pam and I, and they were friends. And he said, I've watched you and Pam, and you guys seem like you're in love. And he said, we ain't got nothing. He said, there's not much between us, Tom. Will you begin praying? And we did begin praying. And they stayed faithful, and they stayed true, and they surrendered what they want, and they received what they had. He went to Haiti with me a few months ago. And he said, Tom, you remember that conversation we had 30 years ago? And he started to cry. He couldn't talk. He said, I don't think I could love a woman the way that I love. He said, God answered my prayer. Surrender what you want. Receive what you have. God will make the difference. I went off on an exit ramp there for a little bit, but I felt the Lord's thumb in my back. I want to be true to that. Okay. I said I'd let you out early on Memorial Day. You're getting out 4 minutes early. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, we want to be perfect in spirit. We're not going to be bashful. Not going to be backward about this. We want to be perfect in spirit. You said in Matthew 5, be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, we know you didn't mean that in the flesh. We know from Scripture that the flesh can go all kinds of directions and we're imperfect. But we know that means to come to completion. And I believe completion is to become a man or woman after God's own heart and to be perfect in spirit. I'd ask that you'd put a hunger. That's been my desire from this message and maybe these examples and me fumbling around, but trying to maybe somehow we could instill a hunger with your Holy Spirit's help in the hearts of those here. I know you put that in me a number of years ago. May we deeply desire to be perfect in spirit. Be with us as we go from this place. Watch over families as they get together today and tomorrow. Protect us. Be with those of our group who are away and traveling. Thank you for your presence in the service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.